talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, September 21st, 2018. The first day of autumn, in my opinion, if you watch television or look at the Farmer's Almanac, it'll tell you it's tomorrow, but I prefer to have my solstices on the 21st, so that's what I'm going to say today.
But technically, you have to get the old farmer. Well, you've got the old Farmer's Almanac.
I do.
It explains technically about the changeover from fall to, or spring to fall, or summer to fall.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And we should mention that Marge Hazlett had a lunch gathering, so she was here for her show this morning, but not here for this one, but she will be back next week for this particular program. And Brandy Downs joined our trio to a quartet last week, and she's back for week number two. Well, Brandy, were you okay with week number one?
Yeah. It was fun.
It's fun, isn't
yeah.
it? We just sit here and go through everything. Now, today we have a lot to talk about, and the first thing I want to go into, because I thought we spent a lot of time on this week on the Satch Solinger show. The CEO of CBS, Les Moonves, left his position. Well, his wife is Julie Chen, who is on Big Brother and The Talk and all these things on CBS. Well, last week she signed off the show by saying she was Julie Chen Moonves after he was let go of his position. And then this week she went on Monday and said now she was going to leave the Talk program, which I have never seen, but she's leaving that particular program because of the instances with her husband, I would guess, is why she's doing it. I don't think she really said that. But what do you think, Charlie? Should she have left? Should she not have left?
It's up to her.
Well, I mean, a lot of people said stay and face the music, answer questions.
She's still on that other program, that
Big
goofy,
Brother.
That
yeah,
goofy
yeah.
program
Stupid.
Has all the weird people
I don't
it.
Understand that. Lock people in a house and see who wins.
I've never seen one program have so many odd people.
But I think on that program she can host it because she doesn't have to talk about current events. Well, that Talk program, they talk about current events, and I mm-hmm. think she didn't want to talk about it.
Obviously.
Yeah. So she's still got a job. We don't have to feel bad for her. She's still on the Big Brother show. But she had to leave her position because of these allegations against her husband.
Why would you have to leave because of that?
Well, I think if it's talked about on that talk show, then how do you give an opinion? And also, if you talk about anything going on in the world that has to do with women, does her opinion mean something when she's standing by her husband?
What about Hillary?
I knew you were going to go to Hillary.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Brandy, then we'll come back to Hillary. What do you think? Should Julie Chen have had to leave?
No. I don't think that any woman should ever be held accountable for whatever her husband is doing behind closed doors unless she was somehow aiding and abetting him in these things. It shouldn't be her fault that he was being a jerk.
Right, but does she lose credibility to comment on things like this?
Well, you know, yes, to a certain extent, I think she probably...
When you stay.
I don't know if I would have stayed. It's difficult to say that, you know, when it's your husband being accused of things, I don't think any of us would think, yes, my husband's capable of that. You don't marry a man if you think that he's capable of the things that Les Moonves has been accused of. I mean, why would you do that? So it's very difficult to think that your husband is capable of that sort of stuff. And you have to trust your husband, right? But at the same time, if there are credible allegations, at some point you have to start examining things and
I don't think she could have gone on, even if she had wanted to go on, because I think, first of all, I think sponsors would have dropped that show because she is standing by her husband. And I think one of the other reasons she couldn't stay is when she made the choice to stay with her husband, it's very hard to have an opinion on issues like that when you're staying with a man who has been accused of doing things like that. Mm-hmm. Back to Hillary. Hillary, yes, Bill Clinton did have, I guess, an affair, we'll call it, with Monica Lewinsky. But I don't know that Hillary tried to cut... I don't know if she ever condoned it. I never heard Hillary say, that's okay.
No wife would ever condone it.
Well, when you stay with your husband and you say,
put up with it. That's
I'm Julie Chen Moonves, or whatever she said, I think that was people... She didn't not condone it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that was a little dig at the people coming out against her husband.
Yes, her husband. I don't remember Hillary Clinton coming. Matter of fact, Hillary Clinton went back to her maiden name and said, I'm Hillary Rodham Clinton. And I do think she put Bill in the doghouse at that particular time. I don't know if Julie Chen has done that with Moonves.
No, that's kind of a private thing.
But it wasn't for the Clintons.
Well,
we were dragging out mistresses from 30 years ago.
An affair is different than what Moonves has been
that's
accused
true, too.
Of.
That's
and
a good point.
So that's a different thing. Working through marital issues, and of course I don't condone cheating, and I certainly don't think that any woman should have to stay with her husband if he has an affair, or vice versa. But it is different than being accused of some form of sexual assault or sexual harassment or things of that sort. That's a completely different thing. That's criminal. Having an affair is not criminal.
Well, is it criminal? I don't know. A whole lot of charges are not being filed. I see people losing their job, but I don't see charges being filed.
Right.
So I don't know if it's criminal or not. It certainly should be, but I don't know if it is.
What law would it be?
I think
it would
be assault.
If there was a law.
I think it would be assault.
There are harassment laws, there are assault laws, there are, you know, but all of those come with statute of limitations as well, and I don't know, you know, depending on where it happened, each state has their own statute of limitations, that sort of thing. So there may not be any criminal charges filed at this point, which seems to be the pattern with these sorts of allegations, but that doesn't mean it's not criminal just because you can no longer file the charge.
But I feel bad for Julie Chen because just because she's staying with her husband, she has to lose her career.
Right.
I think that's too bad. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And my guess would be Julie Chen did not make this decision on her own. Now, maybe she did want to leave, but I would guess the producers of that show went to her and said, you need to go. I would imagine that conversation happened somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, it does feel a little bit like she's taking the fall for something that she didn't herself do. But at the same time, I don't think this is going to be the end of things for her. You know, there's always going to be...
She's got Big Brother.
Yeah, and there's always going to be other opportunities for her. So, you know, we'll see. I mean...
Yeah, when you think of the content of the talk show, it's quite obvious that she didn't need to be on it because... They talk about things.
Well, right, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that... But you know what struck me about that? Because I've never seen this show, to be honest with you.
You haven't?
Never watched it. And they showed this clip of her quitting, which she didn't even come to the studio to do, which, again, it tells me that I think she was talked to by the producers. She taped the leaving message, never mentioned what was going on, just said, I'm not coming back. And they cut to the ladies who were left, and they were all just crying and sobbing. You know, I've never been that upset when somebody left a show. I mean, I'm sad they're gone, but it doesn't bring me to tears. Poor women.
That's
the way it goes.
I mean, we all got to leave sometime. There's only a finite amount of time. But I think it was wrong if they forced her out, but whatever. She's got those crazies on Big Brother, so she'll be fine.
Yeah, and she can still has enough money to go to the grocery store and buy what she would
no,
like.
No fundraisers needed for Julie Chen. But that leads us in to a subject she probably could not have been talking about this week on her little talk program. And that is, boy, who would have thought we would have gotten this much mileage out of Judge Kavanaugh? Because now He seems to be in a little problem because he was supposed to be confirmed yesterday. They put that off because now there is a professor, Professor Ford, who claims there was a sexual assault that went on in high school. Now, last I heard this morning, she has agreed, they're trying to agree to talk to her. That possibly could happen next Thursday. So this Kavanaugh thing is being pushed off, but I find it awful interesting. He's very quiet all of a sudden. Very, very quiet.
Well, he's probably guilty.
I don't know.
His supporters are not quiet.
No, that's they're not. Sure. No, they're not. And yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's but got tremendous support across
the
country.
But the problem is the woman took the lie detector test because, of course, she was going to be, oh, you liar, you liar, you. She took it and she passed. And they went to Kavanaugh and said, well, will you take it? And he said, no.
Ever hear of a judge taking a liar or a test like that?
I don't know that any judge has been involved. Well, I believe Clarence Mason took a lie. Mason. Clarence Thomas took a lie detector test. I
After
believe
he was a judge?
Well, yeah, because I believe it was before he went
to
the Supreme Court.
Right?
Yeah, I believe he took. And I believe, I don't know what the results were, but what bothers me about the Kavanaugh thing is he's denied to take the lie detector test. He's denied letting the FBI do research into it. He's denied basically everything.
Well,
I don't understand it.
Yeah, the FBI would do research whether he likes it or not.
Well, no, only if the Senate would order it, and the Senate doesn't want to order it because they want him in there.
Well, and that's the issue. I don't think that we can, certainly if an assault happened, that's solely on Kavanaugh. But the circus that has surrounded what's going on right now is not solely his fault. That's because he has this cadre in the Senate and in the Republican Party at large that is trying to push this through. Mitch McConnell just came out today and said, I can tell you for sure one thing, that Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed to the Supreme Court.
How can you say that? How, you haven't even heard the woman yet. How can you make that statement?
Because they know they have the majority,
but
regardless.
They do. But does he? Are all these people brainwashed? Do they not have a mind of their own? What about those borderline Republicans? Where are they at?
They're Republican versus a Democrat. That's the big thing.
Yeah, but this should not be about that.
It shouldn't be, but it always is. A Democrat and Republican are like rock solid objects.
You know, Charlie, when 2 weeks ago when we first brought up the Kavanaugh hearings before any of this folderol, I think back to what you said. This guy has a great memory. This guy has a great legal mind. Well, then why wouldn't, if he, and he has claimed he had nothing to do with this, why wouldn't you want the FBI to come in? Why wouldn't you take the lie detector test? Why wouldn't you want to testify under oath? Why doesn't he want to do these things?
I keep thinking, what would the FBI find? How would they go back 35 years?
They wouldn't. But what would happen is the FBI would question and have the ability to subpoena people. And if you lie under oath, that's 5 years in the slammer.
How many people could they subpoena?
Well, they could subpoena him. They could subpoena her. They could subpoena his friend who says nothing ever happened. And they could subpoena her people who say things did happen.
Maybe they ought to give his friend a lie detector test.
Well, that's become the question, is because they asked him to testify and he said no.
Well, I think that the lie detector test issue is a little bit overblown. There's a reason that they're not admissible in court. And it's because they're not 100% reliable. Just because somebody passes or doesn't pass a lie detector test does not necessarily emphatically prove that they did or did not do whatever we're questioning them about.
But if she hadn't taken it, it would have been immediately dismissed.
Yes, it does lend some credibility to her side of the story that she was willing to take one. And Kavanaugh, you know, in the reverse. But at the same time, I don't know. This whole thing is insane. The last 24 hours, especially with the, I can't remember, the president of the policy and ethics or whatever his company is, coming out and accusing somebody else entirely of being the man who assaulted this woman. Well, it's just beyond anything I could have imagined.
Well, let's be honest here. This woman has had to move out of her house.
Mm-hmm.
Her kids have to have security. There are death threats. You know, people are nuts. What is wrong with people? Why would you do that? What has she done? I don't know what she's done yet. You know, Orrin Hatch thinks he can get the votes, or Mitch McConnell, go ahead and get the votes. Do it. But you are going to have to pay a consequence in November.
I think that's why they're doubling down, because they know that if they have to backpedal on Kavanaugh, even if they don't believe that he did anything, if they postpone his nomination, or if they decide to pull his nomination and nominate somebody else, that is going to have repercussions for November.
Well, what bothered me was when the woman said it happened at a party, and Kavanaugh immediately said, I wasn't at that party. She never told him which party it was. So I was uncomfortable from that moment on. Shouldn't he have waited to hear when the party was to deny that he was there?
Well, how many crimes does Kavanaugh have to be accused of for something to finally give people pause?
I'm
rather impressed, actually, that they postponed his nomination vote, because I thought for sure they were just going to push it through. But, you know, at some point, you just have to say, enough is enough. There are plenty of judges out there to choose from, plenty of conservative judges out there to choose from. Pick another guy.
Well, I don't. This guy's, unfortunately, unless he does take the lie detector test, unless he does let the FBI investigate, if they do push him through, he'll be forever tainted, just like Clarence Thomas is.
Well, is Clarence Thomas tainted? What effect does it really have on Clarence Thomas?
Nobody was talking about him since it happened until this came up.
Well, Clarence Thomas, my understanding, he's never asked a question at any of these things. He's always quiet. He's very subdued. When's the last time you heard anything about Clarence Thomas? I think he was forever tainted by how he got there. And that's that. But it's with him. I saw Anita Hill out there this week. So there you go.
What did Anita Hill claim?
That he propositioned her.
Is that all?
No, that's pretty much all we can discuss on airwaves. But there were some nasty things that went on. But this thing is horrible, is what the Dr. Ford is describing. I mean, it's a real...
Horrible? The girl probably was drunk, too.
That's not my understanding.
Or she wouldn't have been in a room.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you are committing a crime, it doesn't matter whether you're intoxicated during the commission of the crime. You still committed the crime.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter if your victim is intoxicated. If somebody steals from you while you're drunk, it's no more your fault than it is.
Would she be consensual being drunk?
Well, I don't think...
There's a real legal thing there.
It is definitely not consensual if somebody has to hold their mouth or hold their hand over her mouth to drown out her screams. Well, that is clearly non-consensual.
And that's the story. And this is why that's worse than what Clarence Thomas was accused of. And another thing, this is a judge. This is a judge. This is a man who knows the law. Why? Why do it? I don't understand. Did he think he just would never come up?
Well, I'm not sure he remembers, honestly. I mean,
no,
whether
he
did it or not,
he
remembered a lot of things in these hearings.
He seems to have a pattern from other things that I've read of getting blackout drunk and not remembering what he did during that time.
He does? I had not heard about this.
Yeah.
He has a period of getting drunk?
There are other pieces of evidence out there that suggest that he has a habit of getting so drunk that he cannot remember, and also that he gets aggressive when he is drunk and does not remember getting aggressive and has to go back and apologize. I think I saw some leaked emails and things of that sort. So, other people's recollection of times with him.
Remember when the Supreme Court had people like Thurgood Marshall and people who had high Sandra Day O'Connor? You had some high moralistic.
Did anybody
people.
Investigate their background that thoroughly?
I think they did.
Maybe. I should hope so.
That was a different era.
That was
before the Me Too era.
Well, but not everybody is being accused of these things. But
no.
This whole idea that the Feinstein who had this email should have done something sooner, well, they would have jumped on her for doing it sooner. If she didn't do it at all, they would have jumped on her for not doing it all. That part of the story baffles me. I don't.
She was trying to protect Professor Ford. Professor Ford had asked for anonymity, and Senator Feinstein was trying to respect her in that manner by not putting it out there. It wasn't until her name was, well, the fact that she had a letter was leaked, and then she had to confirm it, then people went after trying to find out who the letter was from, and that was leaked.
Isn't there a judge out there that Trump would like? Who doesn't have these kind of allegations? Because this is going to be a problem. There's going to be some kind of, whether it's behind closed doors or not behind closed doors, he's going to be forever tainted because of this. So can't we find somebody else who...
How would you find somebody else? Going through weeks and weeks and weeks.
He had a list.
Like 30 people, didn't
he? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he had a list.
Pick somebody
Go
else.
To the next name on the list.
Okay, and start investigating them.
Okay.
And maybe the next one to investigate. How many are squeaky clean people out there?
Well, I should hope nine.
I would hope somebody. I would hope somebody's squeaky clean.
If you can't find nine people in the entire
country.
Was there a
woman? Well, didn't he want to win that Fox News host, that Pirro?
Well, yeah, she's definitely not squeaky clean.
But put her on there. You know, do whatever you got to do. Let's just get this thing done and start rolling in the right direction. Because this is going to be an ugly, ugly week.
Any sleep over it, though.
No, but you know, I bet Kavanaugh, his family. Well, see, here you go. This is now. Why have you lost sleep over it?
Because anyone, man or woman, who has experienced sexual assault or sexual harassment in their lives, especially if they've reported it and not been believed, this is awful. This is bringing up so many horrible memories and feelings, and it's definitely not just me. Lots of women and men who have been sexually assaulted that I know have been feeling the same way. It's been an awful week.
But I again, we have to go. Judge Kavanaugh has denied that this happened, and if it didn't happen, there has to be some empathy there that he's being accused of things that aren't happening. But I just think he's got to do something convincingly to prove that it didn't happen. If I was going to be on the Supreme Court for the rest of my life and I didn't do it, I certainly would take the lie detector. I certainly would invite the FBI in to check it out. I would do whatever it took to clear my name.
But if a lie detector is not admissible in court, is that what you say?
Yeah, but
yes.
It looks
why
better.
Why would I want to take it?
It looks... You,
yeah,
well, that,
that's it's just admissible in the court of public opinion, which is really all this is, because there is no criminal proceeding right now. So... You know, he doesn't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. He just has to prove to the public
that's all
that
he
didn't do it. And he's definitely not going that direction.
Why wouldn't you invite the FBI in? Why? Because you're right. They can't go back and look at kits. I don't even know that there was one. But what they can do is they can subpoena people and they can put them under oath. And I'll tell you, as we have found in other investigations in this country as of late, when you lie under oath, you do some jail time. Your mind gets a little clearer when the FBI puts you under oath. And that is, I've heard so many people on the television say, well, why bring the FBI in? They're not going to be able to go. Well, no, they're not going to go back 30 years. But put these people under oath. Give them the choice. If we find out you're lying, you're going away for 5 years. Their mind will clear up pretty quick. Now, that also applies to her. If she's lying, she'll go to jail for 5 years. If he's lying, he'll go to jail. But just do it. Do it. Why not? Why not, Charlie? but they don't want it done. They have said we're not going to do it.
And I don't understand why, because even if they do push his nomination through, if they pay a price in November, and they have to know that that's at least a possibility, even if it isn't likely, if they lose control, then the Democrats, I believe, have already said that they will try to impeach Kavanaugh.
Well, that's where they're going with this, and he better take heed of that.
Too bad they didn't have a Democrat nominated. Then it'd be squeaky clean, wouldn't
it? Well, see, it used to be you didn't know what the judge was. You know, it was an apolitical person who read the letter of the law, but now it always has to be political. And again, with Kavanaugh, the problem I had with his hearings were he did have this tremendous mind of remembering things, but when he was asked about hot-button issues like Roe versus Wade, like should a president be impeached, like all the, he just didn't remember then. He didn't recall what he thought he was. And that, to me, is a little false. It's a little false. And if your mind's foggy on that, what else could it be foggy on? But I'm not sure that he's going to be confirmed, because it only takes two Republicans to vote the other way, and he won't be. And Lindsey Graham could be one of those people who I think could vote the other way if this is convincing. And what's that? The lady, Murkowski. I think she might go the other way, and that would be enough. That would be enough to do away with Kavanaugh. And then you get somebody in there, and we'll go from there. But
it'd be another year.
No,
of investigation.
Two months of background check and then confirmation hearings for a week.
Well, there's a really easy solution to this problem, and it's that they could nominate Merrick Garland, and then,
well,
you know, the Democrats will be very quiet then.
Not much of a chance. Well, see, do the Democrats play this smart, though? Because if they get Kavanaugh in there, let's say they really believe that Ford, this happened, okay? Let the Republicans confirm him. The election, and make everybody mad. Then they win the elections in November, and they take office in January. They start to impeach him. They do impeach him, because now they have, then they would get to, you know, have the confirmation process, whoever Trump would put up. If Trump's still there, although his lawyers talking to Mueller for 3 hours yesterday, Manafort flipped last week, he might be in a whole host of trouble. But let's say this, let's to be fair. President Trump, I thought, handled the hurricane very well, the last hurricane. He was down there. He acted like a president should. He was hugging people. He went to people. He said, we're going to fix this place. Good for you, President Trump. Good. No? You're looking at me like maybe not.
No, I mean,
somebody finds something wrong with that.
No, he did a good job. He did a good job.
I'd like to, you know, see the follow through, and that's, I don't think, there were certainly problems with President Trump and Hurricane Maria, just in how he conducted himself, but I think the real problem was not that President Trump himself, you know, did anything super horrible. It was that the people that he put in charge of the recovery didn't do their part, and you know, they have another chance, and I hope that they do a great job. I hope that everybody gets what they need.
I thought he's been acting very good lately. I think he's handled the hurricane well. I think he did very good in not responding to the porn star's book. I thought he has done well.
Boy.
And what a book apparently it is. He has not, and even this Kavanaugh thing, he says we need to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, no, he tweeted. He tweeted
he's
today.
He's tweeting differently now?
He tweeted.
Oh, no. He's got back in charge of the phone. Just when things were looking up.
No. And it was not good.
What'd he say?
Well, he basically said that, you know, Professor Ford should have told somebody 35 years ago, and that this was all a hit job by the Democrats, and that facts don't matter, and so on and so forth.
See, Mr. President, when you have a relationship with a porn star and you're married, it's not usually a good time to be saying those things. Like, I would not think Bill Clinton would be somebody who would want to comment on this. And speaking of we investigate, did we not investigate Monica Lewinsky? How did we
did
find?
We?
Well, how did we find that out? Ken Starr put Bill Clinton under oath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this has never been done. So enough of that. Let's go. Well, because we love to talk about Hillary. In Texas, the school board. This is the most bizarre story I've ever heard. The school board in Texas now has said you do not have to teach Hillary Clinton as part of your curriculum, or Helen Keller, by the way, is out of the curriculum. What'd she ever do to anybody?
Well, she was a socialist. That's what she did.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Helen Keller was a socialist?
Helen Keller was a socialist, yes. Oh, she was
so this is
a great activist.
This is political?
Yes, of course it is.
No, I don't think so.
Political, yes.
I think those people in Texas just, I think they're baddie down there in Texas. I don't think they know what's going on. Have you ever met people from Texas?
Oh, yes. I have friends in Texas.
I went to New York one time, Manhattan, and I was waiting in line to go to the David Letterman show. And I was behind these people who didn't seem like your typical Manhattanites. And they said, "We're from out of town." I said, "Oh, wow, well, we're from out of town, too." And I said, "We're from Ohio." And they said, "We're from Texas." And it's this like big, like borough lives. And he says to me, he says, "You know, there's only two types of people in this world." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he says, "Those who are from Texas and those who want to be from Texas." See, this is just batty people in Texas getting a hold of the curriculum.
I remember George Casotas talking about the oil men from Texas that came to Marion during the oil boom. $1,000 bills.
There you go.
Oh,
see,
rich.
And cowboy boots cut off the circulation to your brain.
They do?
That's what I've heard.
I wore them for about 20 years.
I never saw that. No, but I don't think this is... I think the Hillary thing might be political, but Helen Keller, I didn't know she was a socialist, but they teach that as part of her, is that she's a socialist?
I don't necessarily think that they teach it, but I looked high and low. Why could they possibly want to remove Helen Keller from the curriculum? And that was the only thing that I could come up with.
She
if somebody
blind.
Else has a better explanation, please
so
pass
you,
it on.
When I was in school, the miracle worker was part of the curriculum. You had to read that at some point in your high school days.
Yes.
So why are we taking her out? Annie Sullivan and Helen. Now, is Annie Sullivan still part of the curriculum, or does she have to go too?
I don't know.
Annie Sullivan, by the way, you'll still be taught it in Ohio, so our Ohio listeners know what they're talking about. But Annie Sullivan was the teacher who got Helen Keller to learn Braille and speak some and really put up with her. How can you take Hillary Clinton out of the curriculum? I don't understand that one either. Mm-hmm. She was a
then
first lady.
Call them. That would be
call something. Texas.
Yes.
You know their number?
You call everybody else. You get all
Texas.
These,
I annoy
all
a lot
these
of
famous people on the line.
Find somebody
get them on the line.
Well, we're going to talk about it because we have the Hillary Clinton.
Oh, can you imagine? You people condemned Helen Keller?
Yeah. We'll have to put them on the spot. It'll be like Jim Jordan when he was on the show.
But who would you call out there?
You'd have to call somebody from the Texas Board of Education, right?
Is there anybody in there?
I sure hope so.
No, they don't.
I have friends in Texas, and they are very well educated.
Wonderful
people.
When you do things like this, you don't know what's going on. Well, I guess finally, do you think they should have been taken out, Charlie?
No.
Neither do I. Do you?
No.
Okay, well, we're unanimous on this one.
But what did they teach about Hillary?
Or she was a first lady. She's
Secretary
a senator from New York during 9/11. She was Secretary of State when Bin Laden was captured. She's the first woman to get the nomination by a major party for president. How do you leave her off the curriculum?
Yeah, that's
you got
a
lot of dumb people in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, we don't leave Richard Nixon off the curriculum. I mean, even if you don't like somebody... You have to still teach about them, otherwise you risk people repeating the mistakes.
This is why we're doing the Hillary Journal. I feel bad for Hillary Clinton. She's not going to be anything, but God bless her heart. They're trying to wipe her off the face of the earth. Well, not here at WWGH. We're going to... people have mailed letters in on our behalf, Charlie.
Is that right?
Right. Hillary, come. We'll straighten you out.
Oh, yeah. We'll send her to a beauty shop and have her hair done.
Secret Service is going to put you away, Charlie, when they come. They'll put you away. On to another, a more fluffy subject. Facebook. This was a story this week. And this comes to, again, marriages, which... Here we go. A lady was getting married... And this is true. A lady was getting married, and she told the people that they had to give $2,000 to come to the wedding. What do they call this? They call it something. It's like a journey wedding.
Destination wedding.
See, you know what this is. I don't even know. I don't get invited to these places. But you have to give $2,000 to come to the wedding. And she told people, she said, if you don't give me the $2,000, I'm defriending you on Facebook. Well, there you go.
No.
What do you think?
I think it's Three shades of ridiculous.
Isn't it? But this is what happens in life now. Yeah. We're over the edge in this country. We don't know what do you think?
Facebook.
No, I think she sounds spoiled. Yes.
Did you ever get invited to a destination wedding?
I have been invited to a destination wedding.
What is
that? Well, for example, my cousin was married in Hawaii on the beach, and you know, if you wanted to go, there was a plane ticket and a hotel room involved. And,
oh my!
And in their case, they, you know, paid parts of their guests' fees, but yeah, it's something else to expect people to want to come to your wedding enough that they would pay $2,000 just to be in your presence.
Okay, but you don't pay the money to the couple getting married, or do you?
Well, you might have to if they are arranging things with the hotel to get like a discount, a group discount sort of thing. Scott is shaking
his
head.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, because first of all, I've been on record saying this: all marriages after 1985, I think, are flawed.
Really?
Not that they can't happen.
Why did you pick that year?
Well, because here's what I think. Now, here's what I think. Because if you were born after 1985, then you are in the technology age. And I believe technology screws up weddings, just like in marriages, just like this thing. Look what her threat was. I'm going to defriend you on Facebook. Well, go ahead, defriend me. Whatever. Get a life. I don't want to come to your wedding anyway. I mean, that's the truth. But see, this is what you, when you propose now, you have to have like a football team behind you and the band playing, and you got to do these things on videos, and then you got to have a destination wedding and alienate all your friends, and then you're going to defriend people on Facebook. How is that going to last for 50 years?
Well, no. I mean,
I think you just want the trip.
I do think there's a certain subset of people for whom that is true, but I don't think it's the majority of people. I mean, I got married in 2002, I think.
Right.
And you know, I proposed to my husband with a poster on our front door, and that was that. We got married a couple months later. It cost us a couple $1,000. That was it. We paid everything.
With a poster?
Yes, with a poster.
Have you heard of this, Charlie?
No.
Tell me about it. You put a poster on his door?
Was that one of those posters the grade school kids get?
Yeah. No, he was at work, and I decided it was time for us to get married, and so I just made up a poster that said, "Will you marry me?" And I taped it up on our front door so that it was the first thing he saw when he came home, and that was that.
Now, what he just walked in and said,
did
yes?
Did he get a poster and say yes?
Yes.
No, he did not get a poster and say yes.
But, you know, think about this. I mean, this is what we've got. Now, Charlie, you know, that's not how people used to do it. People used to take him out to dinner, and you buy a little ring, and then you'd have to ask the father's permission. Remember these days?
Is that right?
Oh, yes. You had to ask the father's permission, and then he had to say yes, and then you had to go to you had to hawk your house and your car to get the little diamond chip, and then you went out to an expensive dinner, and then you knew you really wanted to be married, because you'd really been through the ringer at that point.
But
yeah,
then there
we
are
did
grandkids.
Not even have an engagement ring. There was I was the one who proposed.
Well.
I asked him if he wanted an engagement ring.
Did he
want
to be married?
Oh, yes. He had already told me that he wanted us to get married, but he wasn't sure when the right time would be to ask. And so I just took the pressure off of him and asked myself.
He didn't want you to say no.
No, I think he just was worried because I had been through a series of traumatic events. My mother had passed away and all of these things had happened very recently. He didn't want to rush me into anything that I wasn't ready for.
So he talked to you about it?
Yes, we had talked about
it. And you had said, I have trepidation.
No, I had not said that. It was much simpler than that. It was just him saying, you know, I know that you're the person for me. I know that I want to marry you, but I know you're probably not ready. Let me know when the time is right.
He said that.
Yes, he said that.
Oh, okay.
And then I just decided to take the pressure off him. Why should the man always have to propose? That seems absurd to me.
I don't know.
So I proposed to him and asked him if he wanted an engagement ring. He did not. We went and got wedding bands, and that's it. I don't have an engagement ring.
See, this whole thing about marriage just gives me anxiety. I just, honest to goodness, just hearing about marriage makes me anxious.
Do men nowadays have engagement rings?
There probably are some.
What is the difference between the engagement ring and the wedding ring?
I think it's simply a promise.
Yeah, that, you promise, know,
this,
right.
This woman has been spoken for sort of thing, which I don't need. I don't even usually wear my wedding ring all
the
time.
You gave me a good finger there. I didn't know which finger was coming up there. This is radio.
No, I don't often
you know
wear
this
my
was
wedding
invented
ring.
In 420 BC.
Yeah, it could
I've heard that from somebody. No, but I don't understand the engagement ring and the wedding ring because that's, to me, trouble.
It's in what whole, way?
Just all, it's all trouble. It's all just a big troublesome thing. And what I think you should do if you want to be married, just live with each other. Just mm-hmm. Forget it. Forget today. Because it's going to be expensive if you have to get out of it.
Well, but then you come into issues if you have any children with, you know, last names and guardianship and all of that kind of stuff. And then end of life issues. That's the other reason. And taxes.
Well, taxes,
all of those
yeah,
are
taxes,
reasons to consider marriage. Because, I mean, for me, I don't have anyone except my brother who lives in all the way in Michigan. He may not know what's going on with me all of the time. And then if something were to happen to me, I need somebody to be able to make decisions about the end of my life. And you can't always do that if you're not legally married.
Well, I think I've made a decision on the end of my life is I just don't accept it. I think
good luck
just,
with that.
Well, maybe you could take a lie detector test.
I would be glad to.
See if you're dead
the
or not.
The FBI can come in. Listen, I had the attorney general on yesterday. He's free to come in anytime he wants.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what he said to me when we hung up? Did you catch this yesterday? Yeah.
Well, it's your nickel.
No. Did you know what he said?
No.
Did you know what he said? I said, well, I thank you for coming on. Because I've had them all on now. Mm-hmm. He was the last one. And I said, you know, I've wanted to have you all on. Thank you so much for coming on. And I hope you come on again. And he said, I will when I'm governor. I see.
Ooh,
there was some confidence.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh,
he got a little fired up. That's there, right. Mike DeWine. He wouldn't speak to me when he was governor. All these people get those jobs, and then all of a sudden they're not running anywhere. They don't want to talk to you.
I spent an hour in his office once in Washington.
How'd that go?
Well, he had to get up and vote.
Just in his office.
And after he voted, he came back and said, well, now you can have your picture taken with me on the steps of the Capitol, and that was it.
Did he have to stand on a crate?
Went home.
He's a shorter fellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's my impression.
Well, I had a nice little convo with him yesterday. I got his feeling on things, and if he wins, good for him, and if Cordray wins, good for him. But they've all been on now, and I'm glad. I appreciate that they do come on so we can ask him questions. But the wedding thing, because I don't think we're going to have time to hit another subject here in the next 5 minutes, the wedding thing, see, all these stories today have something in common. Julie Chen, she had to lose her job because of her wedding. Hillary Clinton, she's tainted because of her husband. Kavanaugh, look what he was doing. Maybe he wanted to marry that girl. Who knows? It's all disastrous. If these people were all single,
boy, I hadn't thought of that when I woke up this morning.
You know, all these. No, do you remember when people had to get married, and they really wanted to? They really had an urge. It wasn't about the wedding dress or the engagement ring or the wedding ring. You know, we'll go to the Justice of the Peace. This will be $10, and we'll be good to go.
What do you think it was about?
In those days?
Yeah.
I think people really liked each other, and I think
no.
they didn't like each
economics.
Other. It was economics.
It was if you know, a woman got to a certain point and she could only have a certain number of jobs that only paid a certain amount of money, she had to get married so that she had a husband to support her.
This could
if she
explain
wanted to have
the divorce
children.
Rate.
I mean, it's always, marriage has always, from the dawn of time, been about
so no
economics.
Love. No love.
No, it's not exclusive of love, but that's not always why people get married.
So
I don't think it's fair to romanticize the past and say that back then people got married for love when that out
well, company,
wasn't the
company,
case.
We didn't have Facebook then. I mean, you couldn't just dial somebody up.
Well,
you had
Facebook
to get on-
isn't... company.
No, but you had to get on the phone. Remember this, when you had to get on the phone and it had a cord and you had to, you couldn't hide. So you actually had to be with the person if you wanted to get married. Now, I see these couples sitting out. They're not even talking to each other. They have no use for the other person
but
anymore.
But older couples that aren't on their phones don't necessarily talk to each other either.
I've said this before. You find an old couple and you watch them at dinner. They're not talking to each other. They've had enough.
They've
said enough, and then one of them dies, God forbid, and you go to the other one, and you say, well, hey, you know, Joe down the street might be, I don't want to take care of another old person. They're no longer in love. It's over. It's done. Love is something, I think, that like a rash. You know, you get a case of it, and then once you've had it, it's over. You don't think?
Interesting.
Look at the old married couples. They don't even like each other anymore. And they snap at each other.
Is that right?
Why are you ordering that? You're even too much money for a tip. You know, speed it up. You're so slow.
Not all couples are like that.
Well, that was my people.
Well, now I can see why you're so against marriage.
Yeah. But they were much happier apart.
He's been ingrained. No,
my aunts. Oh, Lord, we could have a whole show on this thing. I don't know how anybody could spend 10 minutes with these people, let alone 10 years. They're just... people had to be lonely in those days, I think is what happened.
Well, that may have been part of it. I stand by economics.
Money.
But even now, I mean, I think that we're probably more likely to marry for love now than for any other reason because you know, we're allowed to go out and
they're marrying for those destination weddings.
No, I do think that weddings have gotten out of control. That is true.
I never heard of this.
It's very strange
until
to
I
me.
Heard this story. I never heard of such a... Charlie, if somebody invited you to a destination wedding, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't have any money to begin with.
You say, forget it.
I mean, when you get my age and you're on Social Security, you don't go to any destination wedding.
Well, do they pay? I mean, is there like a senior discount on the destination weddings?
I don't know.
Did you go to this thing that you had to pay?
I did not go Well, I was a minor. I
didn't
have my own money.
Did you get defriended?
No, that was in the days before Facebook.
Well, I want to ask this. We have a minute left here. If you get defriended on Facebook, are you defriended in life?
Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes, yes.
Who goes around looking at that? I don't know who my friends are or who my friends are not.
No, I don't know either. But, there are people. We're all different, right? Different strokes for different folks. But
have you done that intentionally? Have you ever gotten on the Facebook and defriended somebody and said, I don't like you?
I have defriended one person since I've been on Facebook. And it was...
Why?
Someone that I went to high school with. And she got very, very upset about something that I had posted and was being really disgustingly rude about it. And I said, you know, either
but are
quiet
you
or...
Are you defriended in
well,
life?
Well, we weren't really friends in life to begin with. We were high school classmates and it
there
was...
There you go.
You know, everyone sort of goes and friends everybody that they went to high school with, even if they never liked them to begin with.
Not me. I would never go to another high school reunion if you paid me. I went to one, and
mine is this week.
Are you going?
No.
There you go.
Well, I went to one with my wife last week.
Well, see, I think
they had a great time.
You had a good
Everybody
time.
Everybody talked.
Super. See, when my reunion came up, this is a whole story for another thing. But the people were too freshly out of high school, even though it was a decade when this happened. It's been a few more decades since then. But the last one I went to, they just fell right back in the high school mentality.
Mm.
There was a fight. There was a fight because people got drunk. And they girls, by the way, not the men.
Well, it's
the
girls. It takes about 20 or 30 years before you break up the cliques.
Worse than that now because now we know too much about each other because of Facebook and Twitter. And so you don't have time to really get out of touch with anybody. You know what everyone's doing. I just don't see the point of the
reunion. Well, we'll know next week if Kavanaugh will be confirmed, or certainly we'll know where the hearings are since they're happening next Thursday. That'll be something interesting to talk. Marge will be back next week. Charlie, what's coming up on the program today?
I'm trying to think. I'm going to tell about a scam that I encountered on getting, well...
It'll be interesting.
Yes.
Stay tuned for the scam and lots of giveaways. And for this, Brandy, still having fun?
Yep, still having fun.
All right, Brandy.
I'm going to give away candy bars, Brandy, if you like one.
Can you answer a question?
I don't know.
Brandy will be back next week. Marge will be back, and Charlie will be back, and I'll be back next week. The Charlie Evers Show coming up in 10 minutes.
And one of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced.